Tell me about it. I know. I can relate. I don't know how to relax either. That's why we're entrepreneurs.
Yes. She's like, yeah.
Yes.
She's like, I'm not an entrepreneur. I'm just along for the ride.
Just along for the ride. Welcome to In the Corner with Zach. I am Zach Schellhammer, and today in the corner, I am joined by
Kayla Bailey.
And you are a fractional CFO,
yes.
I've heard.
Sounds very fancy.
It does sound very fancy. And this is Pepper. Pepper, right?
Yep, yes. Pepper.
And then Simba's over here.
Simba's not in the frame.
Might get in frame eventually, but they're both just chilling with us. What is a fractional CFO?
So a fractional CFO is a very confusing term, to be honest. I didn't even know to call myself that until last year. But basically, I am an embedded financial partner in your business, and I do it on a part-time basis. So think strategy, think forecasting, think business plans, think growth, think cost cutting, all of that fun stuff. And then really creating clarity and holding leadership in the company accountable towards what company goals are.
So chief financial officer, yeah. But like part-time?
Part-time.
And would that mostly be remotely?
Yes. So I do virtual, but I am really big on relationships and impact. And so the couple of clients that I do have, they're all here in Reno, and I go on site once a month. And I really love going on site because I get to actually see the business in action and kind of really position myself as an embedded member of their team.
Awesome. Because I'm sure that's like probably the first concern, because when I'm thinking with my CEO mind, that would be the first thought is like, oh, well, she's not in the house.
Yeah.
She's not dedicated to us.
And especially if I'm pitching leadership coaching, it's really hard to do that virtually, I feel like. Yeah. Or at least for me, it is.
Right.
I really like to be hands-on, so.
So you are pretty much with them.
Yeah.
Some part of the time.
And yes. I kind of white label myself. So I tell my clients that they can present me as basically an employee of their company. And so I am a representative of your company.
Explain white label for those who do not know.
White label basically just means that they can present me as an employee, essentially. Instead of saying, hey, I hired this outside consultant, they can just say, hey, this is our CFO. She's part of our company, part of our team if they want.
Awesome. Yes, you're kind of labeling yourself under them, under their brand,
basically. Yeah, exactly.
Awesome. What is your why? Where does that come? Who wakes up and is like, fractional CFO? That's me. Where did it come from?
So I started my career path, I want to say a little later. Mm. I was a bank teller for 8 years. Mm. And
that must have been interesting.
Yeah, it was. Actually, part of one of the reasons why I decided to go to college at 25 was because I got robbed 3 times.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, not fun.
Was it like note under the glass?
One was a note and one was like two were notes and one was a verbal threat.
Oh.
But I was a very compliant employee, and they really only the one person only made away with $800.
Wow!
So
awesome.
Yeah.
Due to like whatever how you handled it.
You're only allowed to keep like $1,000 in your top drawer, okay. Which is what they see, and then you've got your bottom drawer,
okay.
And then you've got like a vault essentially. Uh-huh. And the funny thing is the last robbery that had happened, that was. They came in right after I had finished taking like a $200,000 merchant deposit.
Oh, wow.
And I had literally just stashed all of the cash in the vault. And as I popped up, he was standing right there. So.
Was this like a threatening, crazy situation? I'm intrigued. We need to know more.
He just said, I have a weapon. Give me all your money. Yeah. So, and they train us to be calm and not panic and just open the drawer and comply.
Awesome. Which is very good for a CFO to, you know, you are able to remain calm in a stressful situation.
It was definitely not calm after the fact.
No, no.
It was, and then the FBI came and they did questioning. And then what was really crazy is the last one actually got caught and he got sent to prison. And if you are a victim of a person who's in prison or inmate, they are legally required to call you any time a significant event happens to the prisoner. So the prisoner tried to escape, I guess, and I got calls for weeks.
Oh my God.
And it was terrifying.
Oh my God.
Not that he even knows who I am or where I live, but yeah, it still was not fun.
Wow.
Anyways,
that's
sorry.
Something we don't know
you're
about.
Just sidetracked there.
No. We need that's what we do in the corner is we find out like the depth.
So
of all
anyways,
the things.
After those
so
events.
Bank teller robbed several times. That is a very good why as to moving along.
So
something else.
I was 25 and after those I was like, okay. I've never been to college. I want to have like a serious career. I realized that I really like money and finance, working in the bank.
Love money.
And so I decided to go to college and enrolled myself in night classes and worked full time during the day. Oh. And I got a position at a local CPA firm here as their receptionist. And I did that for all of 3 months. And then technically they fired me as a receptionist and then hired me on his account because I was a terrible receptionist. Like really bad.
Well, we all have our strengths.
They're like, Kayla, your phone personal skills are like not there. which is not the case now. I feel like I'm a very personable person now, but learning curve. So yeah.
But that took you in that direction.
So they were really great. They mentored me for 3.5 years and they allowed me to become a staff accountant while I was still in school. And they supported me through that. So very flexible with my schedule. I mean, granted, I was still working tax season hours and I did audit. I did taxes for about a year. That wasn't really something I like to do. So they transitioned me into audit, and audit was actually a lot of fun because I got to be like an investigator like all the time. The only part I didn't like about it was anytime that I had to go on site to do an audit, you got like bad guy vibes.
Oh yeah, well, kind of, yeah. that would happen.
Yeah. So I really had to develop some relational skills there to kind of just like tell them like, hey, I'm not here to get you. Right. I'm just here to audit your books.
Just going to audit you.
And make That's sure all. That you succeed as a company. Yeah. Yes. So anyway, so after that, I got hired on by a client of mine as their controller. And they were a startup. And within the 5 years I was there, they grew from $0 to $50 million.
Wow.
So yeah. Amazing. It was a lot of fast paced growth.
Very cool.
It was really fun. I loved being on the ground.
That was my next question about fun from a person who does not like math numbers. I do not. Does not interest me whatsoever. That's the next question.
I think the fun part about was that I had never, I went from just being like a lowly staff accountant to now being a financial leader in a company.
Yeah. Well, and you did big things. Yeah. And you made big moves and helped them.
Yeah.
Which is pretty inspirational. So I could see the passion there.
Yeah.
And numbers are
and
like
And I got to
thing.
Be there. Yeah. We were, when we went through some, we got to buy a couple companies. I got to source financing for them. I mean, it was a really great hands-on experience. And towards the end of that tenure, I wanted to get some other real-world corporate experience besides just that one field. So I went and worked for a couple other companies as a finance director, and led, I mean, I've led teams of 14, in the hierarchy level of like right under the CFO in one company, and I had 18 accounting managers reporting to me who had their assistant accounting managers and then their and then their teams, usually about eight or nine accountants on their teams. So all over the country.
Amazing.
Awesome.
That's so cool. So you've done some amazing
She's
things.
Like, okay, like, mommy, I just want...
It's like this. Yeah, whatever this is, I like this. Let's keep doing this interview.
And so the last company that I worked for was great. But in that time period, I really got this idea of like, I'm leading these teams and they only really need me towards the end of the month to close the books, to sign off on everything, and then to update the forecasts and kind of be like, hey, this is what our goal is. Are we on track? And then there was a lot of strategy in that as well. unfortunately, they got bought out by another company, and I got laid off because they already had a finance team and higher level. And so during that period, my husband and I were talking, and they gave me like 6 months severance, so which is great.
That's great. Yes.
My husband and I were talking, and we were just like, "You've been talking about starting your own business and making what you do accessible to a wider range of companies." Because at that point, that company was like a $25 million a year company. Yeah. And they couldn't even afford like a high level CFO. They were trying to hire one, and every single CFO that they were interviewing was asking for like $400,000 a year.
Wow.
And equity shares on top of that. And I was already kind of doing their job, but I didn't have the title, right?
Right, right.
So in my mind, I'm like, well, I could help these companies for way less than that, and be content. And in that time period, I started to have like a lot of health issues as well. Got diagnosed with some autoimmune diseases, which hasn't been fun, and chronic illness. And so stress has always been like a really big trigger. And so the idea of making my own schedule and being my own boss really appealed to me.
Definitely.
Because at the end of the day, like I have to to take care of myself. Yes. And be true to who I am, and my health is important.
The authenticity.
Yeah, exactly.
I love the authenticity.
And I've always been, I feel like I haven't always considered myself like a leader, but at that point I was like, you know, I feel like I was my own boss at the, at the end of the day.
I think the best leaders find out that they are leaders by accident.
And, like, and I think I found out I was a leader. I mean, I've got a handful of letters upstairs of from employees who have said, like, you've been an amazing mentor.
Oh, yeah.
And to me, that kind of, like, spurned a passion because I didn't have really any – well, I had a couple of male mentors, which is great, but I didn't have any female mentors in my career at all, like, not a single one, other than my boss at the bank. She was amazing.
Awesome.
She is now like a head honcho over at Nevada Women's Fund.
Amazing. Love it.
Yes. I'm hoping to get a part of that someday.
And I don't think people realize how important that is or how lacking until maybe until recently that has been women leadership and mentorship.
And I think
is so important.
It's been extra hard too because like at the last company, I was the only female executive.
Wow.
And I feel like I was constantly having to fight to be a voice in the room.
Yep.
Hoping they're not watching this.
I think it's a fair statement. And, I don't know. I think about that a lot myself.
I felt like I would go to bed at night thinking of ways like, how do I make myself feel bigger and be louder and. At the end of the day, like, I wanted to do my job and not feel like I also had to fight for it at the same time.
Yes. Yeah. And people don't see that. That's why, even if they are listening or watching, it's like, I think they need to, like, hear that.
Yeah.
Like, I say a lot of things now about a lot of the places I worked in the last 20-some years. And they'd probably be shocked. Like, they thought everything was fine.
Yeah.
But it's that the minority person fighting for that space.
Yeah.
And that air in the conference room is, like, ridiculous.
I think the hardest part, too, was I was watching all of the male leadership have regular one-on-one meetings with the CEO. Mm-hmm. And they were getting coaching and leadership training. And I'm over here like, hey, are we going to have a meeting like together right? Like at some point? Like,
Oh, yeah. I remember that. I guess we could have a meeting.
And then I get in my own head. And then I'm like, oh, maybe I'm not doing my job good enough. Right. You know, I once had like the CEO said to me, it's like, well, no one complains about you, so you must be doing your job right. I'm just like, seriously? Yeah. I need constructive feedback to grow.
Yep. Yes.
And that's one thing I tell my clients as well. Like, if I'm not doing something good, like, tell me.
Let's talk about it.
Let's talk about it. Yeah. I also, like, review all of my client calls that I have.
Amazing.
And watch myself, which is really uncomfortable.
That's really uncomfortable. Yes. We were just talking about that off camera, about how uncomfortable it is to watch ourselves on the video.
Yeah.
But it's so, and sometimes it's more surprising. In a good way.
You learn a lot about yourself.
You learn a lot.
I will say that.
Or you actually, or you think, okay, this actually wasn't terrible.
I am not an eye contact person, so making eye contact now. Yes. I think that part of that just stems from the fact that I'm just like, my mind isn't.
Well, there's a different level of like the eye contact sometimes because I'm talking to people and like they're all over.
Yeah.
And I used to be one of those people that I'm like all over. Mm-hmm. But I have learned I need to be looking at the person. It's very important.
Yep.
But we're so.
Yeah.
Our energy levels.
Yeah.
Our brains are wired differently. There's a little ADHD in here
in
all of us.
There's definitely some ADHD up in here.
and that's why when I'm sitting with someone like at a restaurant or something, I'm like, I try to be away from the crowd because otherwise I am like watching everyone in the room.
I definitely get overstimulated in large environments, but at the same time, like I also need to be in those environments to thrive.
Yes,
so.
True. Yes. And so the title, like Fractional CFO, I know we've talked about before, like you didn't know that was your thing.
No. So when I started this, I had a really unique opportunity, and I will always forever give a shout out to Tracy over at Building Profits. She reached out to me on LinkedIn because I had posted on LinkedIn, hey, I'm thinking about getting into financial consulting. And she was like, well, I have some clients that actually need this. Would you consider coming in and partnering? At the end of the day though, I was still an employee and there was something inside of me. There was like a really, like an inner turmoil where I had these ideas about, I was still on someone else's timeline and schedule. But at the she mentored me. She gave me an opportunity to just go out there and connect with people and network. And she sent me to this conference. So when I came on with her, I was a director of client financial advisory. So that's what I was calling myself, a business financial advisor, which though at the end of the day is not accurate because when you think of a financial advisor, you think of wealth planning and 401ks and all this stuff. And I don't do any investments. I don't do any of that. So she sent me to this conference and it was a conference for fractional CFOs. And there were 450 people at that conference. And here I am, this shy person who has never networked a day in her life, who has always been like the behind the scenes person, leading the teams quietly in her corner. And I was at this conference and day one, I just had like this inner voice inside of me saying like, what do you have to lose? Why are you not talking to people? And so I just met so many amazing people there, but they were all calling themselves fractional CFOs. So I'm like, I guess that's what I should call myself
too.
That's
what I am. That's great. Kind of catchy.
Yeah.
And so that was kind of your first foray into networking.
Yeah, it was my first foray into networking. And then because I told myself, what do I have to lose? Which is literally nothing at that point because I've never done it before. So I had no reputation. Right. No one knew who I was. I was a nobody. And I just made some really great connections. And while I was there, I actually got invited to be part of a Fractional CFO mastermind from the person who threw that event. Okay. And this mastermind was for companies who were making like over $1 million. And I was not anywhere close to that. But I guess my personality and the experience that I brought to the table kind of just showed through, I guess.
I got
an opportunity to get mentored by these $1 million fractional CFO firms.
That's so cool.
Which was amazing. Yes. That was for 12 months, and I did that every month, and that opened up a lot of doors for me. But while I was in that group, they kept asking me, they're like, Kayla, why are you not in business for yourself? Mm-hmm. Why are you keep talking about wanting to be the boss of your own time and all of that, but why are you not doing it for yourself? And then also, they were really trying to be like, who are you passionate about working with? What's your niche?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I don't have a niche yet. So I call myself industry agnostic.
Oh, that's a good one.
Partly because I have such a huge passion for learning.
Yeah.
And I consider myself very adaptable to the environments that I'm in. But while I was there, I realized because I didn't have any female mentors in my career, I wanted to work with female-owned businesses. Like that, the idea of that really excited me. So that's my niche.
And we all find, whether we want to or not, we find it.
Yeah, exactly.
And epic that you did, and reflecting on that, like there's not a lot.
I think
for female business owners.
And I think part of it is like, because I'm starting to meet these amazing women, but I think part of it too is feeling like if you say you only work with women-owned businesses, you're being you're not being inclusive.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the word?
That is, yeah.
Yeah.
It's a weird line.
Yeah,
and,
it is.
And being that I am so, I just kind of fall in line with female owned businesses. I have a lot of female clients.
But that's because you're a relationship person.
But, yeah.
And you, one thing I really appreciate about you is that you're genuine. Yeah, I don't know. As women, I've just grown to know that women really value relationships and they value community impact and they value legacy.
Yeah, and it's true. It's like, that's why I say there's like somebody for everybody.
Yeah,
and I'm never competing because it's like if I meet another coach who's doing literally the exact same thing, I can still see like, oh, I can totally see who I would rather refer to this other coach than myself.
Yeah.
And when I have that like one-on-one.
And it's important to recognize that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And when we have that one-on-one, 1 hour like consult, fact-finding kind of thing, meeting, you usually are immediately know like, oh, this is not, we're just not meant for each other.
Yeah.
And it just so happens I'm more of a relationship level.
And you, if you recognize that and you're honest with that person and you're like, hey, I actually have someone who I think would be better suited for you, you're going to get referrals from that person because they recognize that that you know who you want to work with and who you can help and you're not trying to be everything for everyone. I think I still struggle with that, by the way, which is probably why I haven't chosen an industry niche yet.
Yes, and we know that there's always, and I've learned because I've asked the stupid questions.
Yeah.
And I admit that I have.
I don't think there are any stupid questions.
Stupid, although it just depends on
who. It's not stupid,
you're
but it's
not.
I guess if you consider a stupid question would be like a question that you've asked for the fourth time and they've told you the answer to and you're not listening.
You're right.
That's a stupid question.
Yes. I just think back, I did a podcast that it never got published. It wasn't my podcast. And maybe this is why it didn't get published. But I was speaking with someone who was extremely very, very strong on female-owned business, working with women. And I asked the question, why? Mm-hmm. Why just women? Mm-hmm. And they took that totally the wrong way. Because I was just, I was trying to find out.
Why are you being why are you not including it?
I didn't even mean it that way even. It was more just, I was thinking for the audience. Because I was thinking, because I know men as well, who are just like, well, what about me?
Yeah.
And when you do that,
it's funny you say that because I've had lots of people who have questioned that when I've gone with this direction. We're like, so like, you're like the burn the bra movement.
Oh, and yes. Like, yeah.
No, it's not about that.
Yeah. And I think the response, the answer I got was a very stern, well, you all get enough attention.
Yeah.
You men get enough attention. I'm like, you're not wrong.
Yeah.
And now that I've been more open in all the circles, we just attended something the other day where someone raised their hand and was like, and it wasn't a man.
Yeah.
He's like, well, what are you doing for men?
Yeah.
And it's kind of read the room.
There's so much out there.
They're getting, they got their stuff. Yes. The men are fine.
I love this perspective of where they say, oh, well, we can't have female leadership because they're too emotional.
Oh, my God. That's so funny.
Do you realize how many wars have been started because someone didn't, like, a man was like, oh, you didn't share your gun with me, so I'm just going to kill you.
Yes. Like, men are very, very sensitive.
Like, they're just as emotional as women.
Totally.
But
yeah.
I have a couple of male-owned businesses.
As do I, and it's all good.
If they recognize that I am here about establishing relationships and I want to get personal and I want to know why they started their business and I want to help them get there, and like, I 100%. Like,
absolutely.
But I really have this passion of working with women-owned businesses because of the lack of mentorship that I received. And because in my corporate career, the women that I did work with, we were pitted against each other and we had to compete.
Yes.
And it was at the end of the day, like I would come home and be like, why are we not helping each other? Why are we not celebrating each other's wins? If we're competing for the same job position and you got the job over me, like, yes, I'd probably be a little butthurt, but at the end of the day, like, congratulations. Mm-hmm. Like, you earned it.
Yeah.
There was something they saw in you that made them pick you, and now I'm here to support you in that.
I'm so thankful for coming from realtors, like, especially in Vegas, of 15,000, 17,000 realtors. Like, that's all 17,000 people doing pretty much the same same job. And no industry has better taught me that, like, there's somebody for collaboration. There's somebody for everybody.
Exactly.
No, there's, like, no pitting against.
Yeah.
There's enough out there for everybody, and it's true for every industry. Yeah. And I'm glad we went into that a little bit because I think it just needs to be talked about more, because as we go along, there is such a strong women-only group niche, and I love that and I'm all for that because I was raised by amazing women, and I am so thankful for that. I've said that numerous times on this podcast.
I mean,
like,
we know one would be here if
exactly so I think it just needs to be more explained, because as we go along, the sensitive
men, but at the end of the day too, it's really frustrating. Why do we have to explain ourselves?
True. Yes, it's because the sensitive men that say they're not sensitive are being sensitive. And welcome to the podcast.
It's such a walking on coals topic.
It is. Yeah. That's why I've had a really hard time discussing it. But I still feel like it needs to be.
Yeah.
Something needs to be said, even though if it's going to be misunderstood or somebody's going to get.
And I will say this about Zach, something I really appreciate about Zach. So when I started my business, I had this idea for women by women, right? I really want everyone I work with, like who's coming on and working with me and being a part. I wanted to practice what I preach, right?
Yep.
I met Zach before I met any other marketing people.
Oh.
And Zach's been amazing.
Oh, yay.
But we had a conversation and I said, at the end of the day, like I wanted to stay true to the values that I'm preaching, and I wanted to find a female marketing agency too.
Yeah.
Partly because I'm here lending support to other women and so we had a conversation and you were just so gracious about it. Even though
happy
sense
to hear that.
But I've also been like, hey, you should work with Zach too.
Yes,
so.
Yes. You have you're kind of on what you said before, like you've given me referrals of people that fit.
Yeah.
And work.
And some of them have turned into clients for you
Absolutely.
Too. So
they have.
Yeah.
And they're amazing. So yeah, that's just be open about all of it, and the right people come. And like back in the day, I mean, I worked for some really terrible people sometimes. One would say they were terrible.
Yeah.
And one guy always would say, like, I'm not discriminating if I'm an asshole to everybody.
Oh, if you have to say you're not discriminating,
you're discriminating.
But
in the law, like he was like literally citing the law, like, I treat everyone equally, and that is as an asshole. And therefore, I am not discriminating.
Yeah.
And even in that, and we hate that, we don't like that,
don't do that.
But at the end of the day, like, he's got his clients too. Like, he attracts all of those evil, mean people that love
and
him. And it works for them, and they make
Again,
money
there's
too.
There's someone
for everybody. So while I would not promote being an asshole, you can, yes. I'll join you, yes. Commercial break.
No.
But there's somebody for everybody. Absolutely, yeah. But also, like, so the networking leads to, that's how we met.
Yeah.
Missing Link Network.
Mm-hmm.
I love Missing Link Network.
Yeah.
You love
Missing Link Network. I love Missing Link Network, yes.
And that was...
They've been very supportive.
And that kind of shows, like, you know, you just meet people everywhere.
Yeah.
And you came a long way as far as, like, networking, and you're kind of out there now. You're in a lot of groups now.
a lot of groups, but also I have to give a shout out to my marketing gal, Allie Marie Marketing
Agency.
Allie
Marie,
Allie has been amazing.
She
has really helped me figure out what my brand is, and because of that, my social media presence.
Yes.
I go to events now and people actually come up to me and be like, hey, I saw your post.
Yes.
And I am known as the girl with the purple hair. And I very intentionally, when I go to events, I look to see who's attending and I add them and I message them ahead of time and I say, hey, look for the girl with the purple hair.
Nice. Yes. That's the only
kind of like a beacon in the middle.
Yes, you are a beacon, and I know from my platinum hair.
Yes, you have got the Backstreet Boys look like nailed down, and I love it. I've been trying to get my husband to do it, and he won't do it.
I can help him. I'll talk to him later.
Justin Timberlake is my jam.
But on my level, like, I started this maybe. I mean, I've always been doing this like on and off, but I wasn't looking to make a brand out of it. But when I came into my own, like, just business owning entrepreneurship and then my own brand, I went dark like for a year, and it was the saddest year ever. Like, no one notices
no
you
one
and
noticed.
Like, you're no longer, cause I had much bluer glasses tinted. And so I was like the dude with that weird blonde hair and the blue glasses.
Did you like market that though?
Oh yeah.
With your social media?
Yeah. I mean, well, just because that was who I was. I didn't even try.
Yeah.
Because just like your hair.
But,
it's our hair.
But that's how people started to recognize you, right?
Yeah. And then therefore, like, I was getting that in conferences. Like, I've come all the way across the room because I saw you.
Exactly.
And you're the one.
Yeah.
then it was like, well, I can never stop
literally
dying
my
hair.
Purple hair has opened up so many
doors. Exactly. Yeah, so we're now stuck with doing this
and
for the rest of our lives.
You want to know the crazy thing is like it's opened so many doors and so many opportunities, but I have worked in companies where this was frowned upon.
Oh yeah. Totally.
Like, oh, you're too much. Yeah. You must come with a lot of emotional baggage if you have colored hair.
Yes.
Like, I mean, everyone has some level of emotional baggage, I guess. Yes. But yes, also,
but
like...
That is not the beacon of it.
I see people with fun hairstyles or funky clothes, and I'm like, that person's being true to themselves.
Yes.
I don't see like, oh my gosh, they have daddy issues. Like, that's not what I think.
And that's probably why I went to such an extreme. Like, I came out of that world, and for anyone who's listened to any of my talks knows, like, I was super repressed as far as, no, don't do any of that. So I didn't. So when I was out on my own, and then the more authentic I got, the more it was like, this is working and this is amazing. So you think, if you think I'm extreme now or extreme looking now, because I still look different, but like when I started 5 years ago, like, because it was this swoosh.
It was a swoosh.
The swoosh. You look through blue glasses for so long.
It's okay. You drive a blue Jeep.
It's true. Yes. And these are actually still slightly. Now it's the subtle stuff, because these are still tinted blue, but you can't tell, but it still brings
I mean,
out
like the
glasses.
Frames.
It's a whole thing.
No, I love
but
it.
I went crazy with the bleach.
Like, the frames are definitely like the 70s vibe.
Oh yeah. 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 And that's as there was some extremely drunken man at the bar a couple weeks ago that he like was practically asleep, but he was just like, your face and your glasses, they were made for you. I'm like, I know you're too drunk to know what you're talking about. However, thank you. You're right. They were made for me.
A funny thing. So I've spoken at a couple of things, and I've in a couple of groups, and now, and to me, it's funny. My husband's like, "That's not funny. You're not what?" I like to open up with like, "Hey, I'm just gonna address the elephant in the room. Yes, I was born with purple hair."
Oh, that's great. I love that.
It's but actually, it hasn't always been purple. I've had pink. I've had mermaid blue, dark red, blonde.
But now you're stuck. Sorry to say. I hope you like this.
This has become a brand. It really has.
Yeah, I hope you like that.
And it's a good thing I like it. So.
And I've seen you speak now several times. You're very good.
Yeah.
And you have grown with that too.
Which is crazy because the idea of public speaking still terrifies me.
Yeah. And now we're kind of accountability buddies with going to things together.
Yeah, no, I text you. I'm like, hey, I'm going to this event. Are you coming?
And that I love that because it gets me out more. And I know that there's at least someone there, which I think everyone needs their accountability buddy. And somebody who's going to be around just in case, and especially in case it's because it could be boring.
Yeah.
And then you really need someone to talk to. You do find that as a pro instead of a con.
Yeah.
Because sometimes I like to be alone in the room. Sometimes. Depends.
But why do you go in the room then?
I mean, I like to be alone without people I know.
Yeah.
I should say that. I like to be the stranger.
I mean,
in the
I
room.
Do find that there sometimes that when you go to networking events, people do tend to gravitate towards the people they already know.
Yes.
But the whole point of networking is to meet new people.
Yeah. Because coming from like the world of real estate, because it's a little different like with mixed industries. Mm-hmm. But in real estate, like we have these gigantic conferences, thousands of people, and these brokerages will go.
Like, why are you not?
I'm sorry. They'll go together, like with a group of 12, and literally that they will spend the entire week sitting at the same table with their people. And then they feel clicky and elite. And they want to be, I'm here with my people.
I have literally fought my entire life to go against the grain, not be a part of the clique. Like, it's great to have your group of friends, but it's also great to meet new people. I mean, what if all of your friends died? Now you're going to be alone? Sorry.
That's good. And that's probably a good point. Like, we want to meet people.
Yeah.
So we're very good out there. Like, we're not going to just stick in the corner together and hide. So if you do have that person that you go with, make sure that you'd like challenge each other to get out more, meet the strangers. Don't be the click at the table. And that leads me also as far as being the outlier. You are the outlier. Partners is the name of your business.
When I was trying to come up with a name for my business, I was trying to think, like, what describes me?
Yes.
And with the help of ChatGPT. I mean, ChatGPT came up with a lot of names.
It did. I'm sure. I'm sure. We know it well.
And it didn't even come up with outlier, though, surprisingly.
Interesting.
But it came up with a lot of things that led to it.
Okay.
And so, and then my nerdy math brain was like, okay, what is a math term that stands for someone who is uniquely themselves, who isn't afraid to go against what is normal or what is considered normal, I guess. I mean, I don't even know what normal is.
Yeah, I cringe to say normal, but yeah, normal.
I feel like normal isn't the status quo anymore.
Yeah, it's very status quo. Did you ever read the Malcolm Gladwell book, The Outliers? Oh, that's a good one. Because it's all about outliers, and that's where I came up with that. That's where I learned of that phrase initially. It was a long time ago. That's a
good
book.
And I'm a stats nerd, so outliers is a statistical term for, and it could be a good or a bad thing, but really all it stands for is you've got, hey, this is your trend, and all of a sudden there's this little dot over here in this corner, and you're like, what the heck is that? But it's like it's like contributing so much to my business here. So what is that? That's an outlier.
See, I didn't even really think about
it. I mean, it could contribute or it could like be the downfall of you, but for the most part, outliers are positive.
Yes. But I didn't even think about it in financial terms.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah, I mean,
you've got a dual meaning.
And that's what my logo, is a stat chart with a little line and all the dots following the trend line, and then you've got this giant star like way outside the line, and that's the outlier.
The dog's
really
laying on my nose
trying to figure out something that and you can't even see him, he doesn't want to be in the spotlight.
No, yes, you don't have a
do you want to say hi to him? No, he's like, no,
no.
He just wants belly rubs. He's like, come here, Stella. No? Oh, no. Pepper likes being in the spotlight.
Oh, yeah. What is a mind shift?
Just pick him up.
It was the question. It was just the question that I had to know.
Like, and now he knows what he wants. Really, yes. He's like me. He knows what he wants, and he will never settle for anything less.
And then Pepper is jealous.
And then Pepper is just like, she's just the chill person in the room.
She is the chill person. That's why I relate. I relate well with Pepper.
She's just kind of like, I'm here for it. Whatever, man.
Yes. Both amazing. Because I'm just trying to read this one question, because the one question that I couldn't remember.
We've talked about branding. Why my outlier?
Yeah. It's what's the mindset shift you had to make on your business journey?
The what do you have to lose? I mean, granted, yes, being broke and maybe possibly going homeless, which will never happen.
As long as that.
Very motivated to make sure that doesn't happen.
Yes.
But I've had also a very supportive husband who's been like, hey, this is why
which
we're
is
dinks.
Amazing.
For anyone who doesn't know what that term means.
Please define, yes.
Dual income, no kids.
Other than the kids here.
These are my children.
These are the children, yes.
I also have a niece and nephew that were very involved in their lives. Mm-hmm. But what's great about that, is we get to help raise them. Mm-hmm. But if they become a pain in the ass, we also get to give them back.
Send them right back, yes, exactly.
No, so yes. Yeah. So
how did
he was
you,
like, this
how did
is
you,
why we're dual income. Yeah. I can, like, I've always, I've I have, and probably the reason what held me back the most from starting a business was not having that sense of security. And part of that stems from my childhood, and that's a whole nother story, so we won't get into that.
Another episode.
I got adopted, and yeah, there's just lots of things there. So yeah, sense of security has always been very important to me, and so being an entrepreneur, you kind of throw sense of security out the door. Mm-hmm.
It's that invisible walkway that you're stepping out on that you don't know. Is anything going to be there or not?
It's still so scary.
It's still so scary.
Yeah.
It probably always is.
But at the end of the day, so last month, I went without an income for 3 months, basically, because, I mean, when you start out solo, you have to go out, you got to market yourself, you got to do sales. I mean, at the end of the day, if you're not out there, no one's going to know you exist.
Yes.
So I started looking for some part-time jobs.
Mm. And doesn't that inspire you to never
do
that?
The idea of having
ever.
To update my resume and then apply for a job was scarier than not making an income and doing what I wanted to do and be passionate about.
Yeah. So. That's a good point. and super true, because once you do get into it, you've already taken all these risks and all this adventure.
And now it's like, I'm also a person who does not like to fail.
No.
At all.
No, yeah.
So,
yeah, whenever I look at part-time jobs, I read the job description and I'm like, oh, that sounds a lot.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of
like,
stuff.
Gosh, I gotta
something
go
I don't
through
do.
A four-part interview for a 15-hour a week job.
Yes.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Whatever.
Yeah. Exactly. Yes. So that's funny that, like, once we get into it, you don't really want to get out of it, and just the thought of getting out of it gets us back into it, actually.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah. And it you does. Have, I should touch on the fact that, because I'm hearing a lot lately of like, I don't want to spend the money. I don't want to go into debt over all this. But we both have spent a lot of money on
you
our
have
businesses.
We've invested.
And it's paid off.
Yeah, it's starting to pay off.
Starting to pay off.
For me, yes. I mean, I've only been doing this since April now, so.
And the more you put it, but it is like, any logical individual would be like, well, the more you put in, the more you make, but you put in a lot.
Yeah,
I'm like,
exactly.
You do.
Yeah,
you do.
You do put in a lot.
But you've got to be out there. You have to have your image. You've got to be out.
Yeah, and you have to be strategic about what you choose to invest in.
Yes.
Which is something I hit hard with my clients.
Oh, yeah.
It's like you can't, it's not about chasing the shiny objects.
Look at that. Yes.
It's about thinking what the bigger goal is and the bigger picture, and then the steps that are going to get you there. And I've only been in this for 4 months, and I've really had to apply that in my own business. I've definitely recognized that I have FOMO, the fear of missing out.
Yep.
Like last month I was like, oh, look at me. I went to 8 networking events and I had 27 coffee dates.
And what did that get you?
I mean, nothing so far,
nothing
but
so far.
I mean, referral partnerships require nurturing and really establishing that trust bond and getting them. Because they're referring people to you that they already have relationships, right?
Yeah.
So I'm never going to refer someone to someone else that I know, that I don't know what their work product is going to be like.
Yeah.
So
And this is because I always have been preaching
client I onboarded this month was a referral from someone I met last summer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because it is true, like, out of all those coffee dates, something will come.
And I love meeting people, I realized that I need
strategy.
To be really strategic about the partnerships that I make.
Because you could just go out there and do, because I used to preach that all the time, just go out and do all the things, like whatever, just something will stick eventually. But if you want something like right now, you've got to be a little more strategic.
Mm-hmm.
I'm missing my first conference in like 3 years that I've gone to every year.
The real estate one,
yeah.
Because you're trying to get out of that box, right?
I'm getting out of the box, but like, because they have two. They have one in San Diego, one in New York. And I love New York, and I love the conference in New York. And I just decided, like, it's just not the time. Moving my business to Reno, moving myself. I'm not going to go to San Diego in July. That doesn't thrill me with the, I don't know. I don't know what y'all were thinking. I mean, before that, it was in Vegas. So you still, I don't know what you were thinking. But it's just too hot. And I like that winter networky fun. But it's killing me. It's this next week. And it's killing me that I'm not there to support my folks. Because I'm still an ambassador of that conference. Yeah. And I'm still going to be.
Yeah.
But I had to miss one, and others have missed many. Like, this is just something, because they're strategically going to what they need to, and they know when to say no. And for the last couple of years, that's, I always say, my last 2 years were the years of yes. I said yes to everything.
Yes, I know.
And now I need to say no, and that was a big no for me. And I'm going to, I know I'm going to see all those photos of all y'all.
And then you're going to have the FOMO.
And I'm going to be like,
and then you're going to find yourself
there.
Sitting on your couch, drinking. Drinking some wine and be like, oh.
Like, I'm not in San Diego.
And then texting Kayla, hey, you want to go hang out to distract yourself?
Exactly, distract us.
No.
So it is very important to be strategic.
It's really about being strategic.
And since you're doing that so early, that's really good that you're doing it early.
But also strategic, again, about the investments that you make as well. And when I started this, one of the things, like, I sat down and I mapped out all the things that I needed to do to get this up off the ground. And then I highlighted the things that I knew I was not good at or I didn't want to do. And the number one thing was marketing. I am not a social media person. If you go on my personal Instagram page, I post maybe once every 8 months. And really, I just do that to make sure that my family members know I'm still alive. I mean, I talk to my family regularly, but extended family.
So they know,
and their friends. Because I've always been kind of like that person that just lives in the moment, and I never really take time to stop and, like, contemplate or think, oh, man, I should be capturing this. So. That was kind of like the one thing where I was like, okay, if I'm going to invest my savings into this, what am I going to invest in? And marketing was one, because we live in the age of social media now.
Hire your weaknesses.
And it's paid off. And it's paying off.
Go into your genius. You're focusing on your genius. So
my genius is not marketing.
And marketing pays. Marketing pays off, people. Listen to that. If you could tell little Kayla what you know, what to do differently,
little Kayla, it would have been like, why did you wait so long to do this? Because I think about it, and I think about all of the health issues I've had over the years, and I think about the stress that I've endured, and I think about the competition aspect that really contributed to the problems that I was having, and I could have skipped all of that.
Just do it. Just jump in.
And what spurred me to start this really was in January, and I've never really, mental health is huge, by the way.
Sure.
I've never really experienced panic attacks. And in January, I started having like these debilitating, where I would be on the ground feeling like I had a storage container sitting on top of me, crying, not being able to move, like panic attacks, like terrifying. And they happened for like 3 months, almost on a weekly basis. And then one night it clicked with me, like I knew that I needed to do this. This is the I don't think I've ever felt so compelled as I now. So compelled so that I was having panic attacks, which I have never experienced ever.
Well, a panic attack can be a lot of inspirational material. Terrifying.
Like, I thought I was dying. I don't even know how to describe them. And I felt like I was being an inconvenience to everyone, because I would, like, I went on a trip in February to Cabo for a girlfriend's bachelor party, and I had 3 panic attacks that week I was there. And I didn't want to make a scene of it or be that person. But at the same time, like, it was very real that it was happening.
Freaking out, yeah.
And I am, like, that was an amazing vacation, by the way. Like, I am all about the spa trips with my girlfriends. So that's my favorite thing to do on the planet.
Yeah. Love that. Well, your health is everything. And if you don't have your health, you don't have anything.
Yeah. And that last year I was working at the company that I got laid off from, I started... my autoimmune issue started to manifest itself in paralyzation.
Wow.
So like the right side, like I was having like my face, and
physically,
my arms, I couldn't feel my foot. And it happened for months. And and then I went and saw a neurologist, and I did occupational therapy for months, and then started to get back into that. But like stress is
real,
and what I'm doing now is stressful because being a business owner, but it's fun stress.
Yes,
I have not had a single panic attack since I started this.
That's amazing. I love that. That's a really good point, because I said before, like, no one knows what your body's really up to. And I worked all those years under, I felt like the crate on top of you.
Yeah.
It was a container on top of you.
Yeah.
And under somebody's thumb.
It's paralyzing.
And I was like, why am I dizzy? Am I dying? What's going on? And everyone was just like, it's stress. Doctors were like, it's stress. And I'm like, how could that be? I know myself so well.
Yeah.
It can't possibly
I'm
be.
So self-aware.
Something's wrong with me. And then you get away from all that and you start to shed those layers. And you're like, oh, and I never want to be that dizzy. I was dizzy all the freaking time. Yeah. It was ridiculous.
It's not fun.
You never want to do that again. And that's another good driving factor to do what we want to do.
And my husband has been so freaking supportive. Like, I don't know. Yeah. I could start crying right now. But like last month, I mean, we've been pretty financially strapped.
Sure.
He had an accident a couple of years ago. He's had 3 knee surgeries since. We had to replace the AC in our house.
Ugh.
I got laid off from my job.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, out of all the middle of this, we're like, hey, I should start a business. but he has really recognized that this is what I've needed to do. Mm. And last month, I really went through like kind of an existential crisis. Because I felt like I was doing all of this work to get out there and make myself known, and it hadn't started paying off yet. And things have been tight. I mean, I love to shop. And I've been really good. My husband said the other day, he's like, I'm so proud of you. I haven't seen an Amazon box in months.
Wow. Yes. Because even if he is like supporting, it's still going to be tough. Like it's
like,
a strap
Kayla,
situation.
It's really funny. He's like, Kayla, like, you are amazing at helping businesses grow and make so much money. He's like, but why are you not applying this to our life? And not that we're we're fine,
It's probably like a fact of some. There's an analytic out there somewhere about how the professional does not apply it to themselves. As I've shared many times with my coaching in my head, is like, oh, you're screwing it up, dude.
Yeah.
But I could tell anybody else how to do it
right.
But
yeah.
I can't.
Yeah.
So that is so true.
But he's been very supportive. And last month, I definitely had like a crisis of like, oh my gosh, I'm not making any money. I'm not contributing. What's going to happen? And he was like, Kayla, like, no, remember we talked about this. We're going to be fine. We're going to be okay. Like, it's going to be good.
I love that.
And he's like, it's going to pay off. I know it's going to pay off. And like, yeah. So.
So next for you and the Outlier Partners, it's just more growth.
Yeah.
More amazing
things. And I position my business, part of the branding, to be plural, because I know I'm going to have employees next year.
Love that. Perfect. I love it. There's the goal. There's the answer.
And I have this idea of it's not just going to be fractional finance. Mm. It's going to be the whole C-suite. It's going to be the whole outsourced C-suite. And it's going to be a whole outsourced C-suite of badass women.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I am so excited for it. So that's what I'm working really hard to getting to that. All of my friends are in C-suite executive positions in their companies, and I want them all to come and partner with me. We're talking about
That's
it. I mean,
amazing.
I have a girlfriend who is a C-suite project manager. I have a girlfriend who's a C-suite operations manager. I have a girlfriend who's a C-suite technology manager, a C-suite marketing manager. Like, I would love to bring that full picture
under this
in.
Umbrella, yeah.
And then, I mean, I truly believe that a CEO or like a solopreneur can, if they have a company and they want to grow and build, I feel like they could still be a solopreneur and hire a fully outsourced team.
Absolutely.
And keep their overhead low.
Yep.
Yep.
Yes.
So.
And who better than a bunch of badass women?
And if there are any incubators or investors watching this, I would love to come in.
Yes.
Because at the end of it, like the incubator, I love the incubator or the generators who have these ideas, starting these companies and then bringing in all of these outsourced execs to start it. And these businesses are making, I mean, making a lot of money. And then also with the outlier, if you think about all of the unicorn businesses out there, and for those of you who don't know what unicorn business means, it is a non-IPO billion-dollar company.
Perfect.
So, if you think about the unicorn businesses that are out there, they all started with original outlier ideas that don't conform to traditional standards or... So I want to be that. I don't want to be a billion-dollar company. At the end of the day, my goal, girlfriends and I, we actually want to have like a co-op in Europe with a vineyard. And I have this idea of having a giant rose garden, like a secret garden.
That sounds wonderful.
You can't see my house, but I have a whole garden upstairs inside my house. and then a private chef and drinking tea every day.
Well, yeah.
So what do I have to do to support that?
Exactly. You've got a good, solid business plan for that projection. Can all those folks get in touch with you? Where can we find you online?
So I have a website, theoutlierpartners.com. You can also find me on LinkedIn, Kayla Bailey. You can't miss me. My profile picture has purple hair. And
find her the purple hair across the room.
I have researched. There are no other Kayla Baileys, at least that I have Googled, with purple hair.
Thank goodness. That would be very confusing. Thank you for joining me in the corner.
Fun. I was
so
actually
fun.
Kind of nervous going into this, and I actually
nervous.
Turned out to feel
We're
very
We're in the
natural,
corner, for Christ's sake. It's okay. And thank you for bringing Pepper. And you cannot see Simba, but Simba's awesome too. I love it.
I think that this one is going to bring a lot of viewers because people like to watch videos of dogs and
They
cats.
Probably haven't looked. Some people probably have looked only at Pepper. You might not even notice that I look like a Backstreet Boy and Kayla has purple hair. Join us next time. See who's in the corner with me. We are like back to more recordings because I'm being held accountable now. I have accountable buddies for podcasting too. So I hope to do more.
And
of these.
I feel like I've been kind of hounding you.
You
too.
Have. You did. You did remind me I needed to do this. So thank you. And thank you for being open and honest and amazing and authentic.
Thank you.
Until next time.